This is Jordan Secchio. The House passes massive tax reform. Now will the Senate actually deliver?
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Yesterday, after we were finished with the broadcast, the House of Representatives was able to pass a very massive tax cut program. It got through the House with Republican-only support, no Democrats voting for it, only a handful of Republicans voting against it. That will now move forward to the Senate, and this is obviously where the tougher battle begins. But the margin of victory, if you'd like to call it that, in the House of Representatives was much higher than a previously thought. There was an idea that this may be a slimmer margin of victory in the House. So the House has been much better this year at getting the initial steps of legislation passed. The problems have really been in the U.S. Senate. You know, the House ultimately got a repeal and replace of Obamacare through. The Senate could not. The House now has gotten tax cuts through, and we'll go through exactly what is in the House bill that has passed the U.S. House of Representatives. Let me go to Than Bennett, our Director of Government Affairs. Than, tell people quickly about the vote yesterday in the House of Representatives.
Yeah, it was 227 to 205, so 13 Republicans, Jordan, voted no on the legislation. Most of those were because of a change in how you can deduct state and local taxes. We can get into some of those specifics later, but most of those 13 were because of that concern. Jordan, not a single Democrat voted in favor of this, so that 227 to 205 margin is actually a pretty big one, considering that no Democrats crossed over. This is a tax bill that they should have had Democrat support on. You're talking about pretty broad rate reduction for especially low-income learners, but really all across the rates. So again, we can get into some of the specifics, but on the margin, on your question, that 22-vote margin, that's actually a very significant one, given there were no Democrat votes for it.
And then to the other idea, which is now this moving into the U.S. Senate. The U.S. Senate has it's not the exact same piece of legislation. We'll explain the differences throughout the broadcast day. I want to take people's phone calls on this. Do you think that we'll actually get tax reform legislation done by the end of the year? Do you think the Senate will be able to get a bill passed because they've got a much slimmer margin to work with here? I don't think you're going to get probably Democrats on board. It may be tough. So give us a call. I'd like to know what you think about this tax plan. 1-800-684-3110. If you want to talk to us on the air, that's 1-800-684-3110. Than, bring everybody up to speed. The Senate, it's moved through the committee stage, but we're not going to see a full Senate vote until after the Thanksgiving holiday.
Yeah, that's right. It actually moved through the Senate Finance Committee on the same day the House passed it yesterday. That was on a strictly party line vote, Jordan, 14 to 12. So Chairman Hatch and his committee moved it out. You're right. There are some differences. I would just give you one significant one. The House bill reduces the brackets to four brackets. The Senate bill actually keeps seven brackets like the current code, but lowers all of those brackets and also delays when you enter the higher income brackets. So still broad rate reduction, just a little bit different way of going about it. There are a few other minor differences. Those would have to change. But honestly, Jordan, for this United States Senate to have a bill of this magnitude out of the committee this quickly, that's actually really good as well. You did have Senator Ron Johnson saying he doesn't quite support it yet. And remember, you can only afford two defections in the United States Senate unless you get Democrat votes. But again, it's out of committee. It'll now be on the House floor after the Thanksgiving break, or the Senate floor.
Logan, right now the phone lines are full. I know people have a lot of thoughts on the tax reform issue, but that's a great way for us to get our comments coming through also on Facebook and Periscope as those phone calls are coming through. Get those comments in online.
That's right. Phones have completely lit up. We have no lines available right now, but they may open up. So give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. Or you can find us broadcasting online where you get your comments in. That's on Facebook and Periscope. Just search for Jay Sekulow. We're broadcasting live there on the Facebook page and on Twitter at Jay Sekulow. You can also find just the stream at ACLJ.org. But once again, hey, the line opened up, 1-800-684-3110 to have your voice heard today.
A great time to support the American Center for Law and Justice. We have a matching challenge right now. Whatever you donate is doubled. Make your donation online at ACLJ.org.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation. The rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow as we take your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. And for those of you who watch the broadcast online at Facebook and Periscope, we're taking your comments there as well on the air. I want to first, we are talking, of course, about how the House of Representatives has passed the tax reform legislation. This is a big deal, folks, because, again, this is tax cuts. It's called the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, because when you lower the taxes for both corporations, large companies, and small businesses, gives them the potential to spend more. That means hire more people, increase salaries, expand the business, grow the business as well, and all of that benefits the employees. So it benefits people that way. And then, of course, there are individual tax cuts here as well. So it's not just tax cuts about companies, not just tax cuts about small businesses. It's individuals, big corporations, and small corporations, S corporations, if you will. So let's talk through first, Thane, just briefly, our Director of Government Affairs. Tell people what the House of Representatives did yesterday and how the vote went through, and then kind of what happens next. And then we'll go through and talk about what was in what the House voted on yesterday.
So just broadly, Jordan, the full House of Representatives passed their entire version of the tax reform bill. Remember, it just came out of House and Ways Committee a week ago. They passed it by a vote of 227 to 205. Now it moves to the Senate. The Senate Finance Committee has passed their version out, but the full Senate has to consider it. And as we know from the past, that's really where the biggest hurdle lies. At this point, you have one Republican, Ron Johnson, saying he is opposed to the bill in its current form. So you can only afford to lose one more unless you get him back. And then, Jordan, we really need to wait and see what's in that final Senate bill, because there will be some differences, and then they have a choice. They can either go to a conference committee to iron out those differences before sending it to the president, or the House could take up the Senate passed bill and pass it as is. That's probably less likely, but either one of those options would get the bill to the president's desk.
So it's interesting. In the House plan, one of the things that's interesting is that people in the House plan will be able to allow to write off the cost of state and local property taxes up to $10,000. Harry, that was initially not going to be there. That they were going to remove that deduction, but there was a lot of pushback from blue state Republicans who said this is just going to be too hurtful to our constituents. So they're allowing the deduction to an extent, if you will. And that will be for, again, middle class, and then I'd say people even in the lower middle class who would still hit, that would probably allow them to fully deduct those taxes.
I think that's correct, but it's also important to remember that under the House pass plan, no more than 10% of the American people will itemize going forward. Currently, under current law, 30% of the people itemize. So the value of the deduction is falling. Why? Because the standard deduction is doubled.
That's right. So it doubles from where it was. It used to be, again, much lower than this. So for individuals, it's gone from $6,350, the standard deduction, to now $12,000. And for married couples, it's gone from $12,700 to $24,000. So effectively doubling those. And that again, takes a lot of people, once you use that deduction, that takes a lot of people down to paying very low taxes or maybe no taxes at all.
That's correct. And it also means that the tax payments are going to be simplified. In other words, you will not necessarily have to use a tax accountant or a computer program to do your taxes. So I think that's a huge advantage for many Americans.
We're focusing on the individual side of this tax cut plan that has passed the House of Representatives. It's called the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, and it passed the House of Representatives. Now the Senate will have to act. Let's just look at basically the individual tax rates for low and middle income Americans. Most will go to 0, 12, 25%. There will be a 35% bracket, and then there still will be a 39.6% bracket for high income Americans. I think, Than, is that the people who make, I mean, that's like the top of the top of the top for that 39.6 is the people in the millions of dollars?
That's for income for a married couple of over $1 million, Jordan. Income that surpasses $1 million.
So that stays in at 39.6, but still so major focus tax cuts here on the middle class and then lower individual tax for low and middle income. I mean, again, 12%, 25%, and it's more simple. There used to be 7 of these. Now we've got 4, basically, or 5, and it's very easy to figure out. Then will it be easy for people to figure out which bracket they are? Do we have the actual amounts now that are in the House plan? Can we tell people right now in the air, like, this is, if you make this much money, this is what bracket you'd be in?
Yeah, we sure can. And it all starts, of course, with doubling that standard deduction. So any of the rates that we give out are income that is earned beyond that new standard deduction, which then would be $24,000 for a married couple. I'll just give you the first couple of brackets, Jordan, because this is where most people will fall in it. For a married couple, then, for income that exceeds that $24,000, up to the next $90,000 would be taxed at that 12%. And then from $90,000 to $260,000 for a married couple, that would be taxed at the 25%. So that's going to rope in most people that are listening to this broadcast, Jordan. Then obviously it goes up from there. But in all three of those tiers, the 0% tier up to $24,000, the 12% tier up to $90,000, and then the 25% tier, at each step, Jordan, that married family is going to be saving a significant amount of dollars. So it's very difficult, actually, to find a taxpayer profile that sees increased taxes under this plan.
Logan, let's take a phone call now, and we'll keep walking through what is in this House plan that is actually passed. This is not proposed. This is passed the House of Representatives.
Let's go to David in Salt Lake City online, too. You're on the air, David.
Hi. Yeah, my two issues with the House version that I think are going to find a lot of resistance in the Senate is the fact that they're relying on corporations to get this giant tax break and turn around and spend that money on the workers, whereas we've already heard from many of corporations, top people, that they're going to use the money not for that, but to buy back their stock from foreign stock investors. And so essentially the tax break is going to foreign stockholders for the majority of that.
And, I disagree with you there. I mean, first of all, I mean, you can't speak for every corporation and every company. Some may very well do that. Others will expand. But there is a deduction here, and I think that this is important now, moving to the corporate side of the tax credit. There's a I think it's still in there, that 5-year
it is
expansion. Yeah, where you can deduct ahead for any kind of expansion of equipment. I mean, that is huge. Yeah, you can immediately write off any business, can immediately write off the full cost of new equipment to improve operations and enhance the skills of their workers. I think it goes on for 5 years, right, Dan?
Yeah, it goes on for 5 years. The current Senate version, Jordan, adds on to that a shorter depreciation for building, too. So I actually don't agree with what the caller says.
Yeah.
Every economic study you will see says that will result in greater jobs and higher wages for their workers.
That's right, because they have an incentive to act in those 5 years. So they can't just say, okay, we're going to have this forever now. It's 5 years. Well, to utilize that, you've got to buy things. To buy things, they have to be built and made. People have to make those. People have to assemble those. They have to install them and then run the equipment we're talking about. So, I mean, Harry, the way this works is companies are going to take advantage of this five-year window to use these expansions. And you can't do these expansions without hiring people, without paying for products that need to be built. So, I mean, it helps all along the line, many different
areas. So you're absolutely correct. Expensing capital equipment purchases will jumpstart a sluggish economy. That's number one. Number two, it's important in response to the caller's comment to note that 84% of middle-income households earning between $75,000 and $100,000 will get a tax cut next year. So it's a dual approach. We're cutting individual taxes, but we're also cutting essentially corporate taxes, which will fuel economic growth. This will lead to job growth. This will lead to an expansion in wages. In addition, there's a provision allowing for the repatriation of foreign-held profits by lowering the tax rate to 12%. Again, that means more money will come back to the United States.
Yeah, so I mean, this is, again, very important. Now that we're into the corporate side of this, the biggest part, I think, of the corporate side, we've only got 1 minute left in this segment. We'll take more of your phone calls. We come back, is the cut in the corporate tax rate. Right now in the United States, we are at 35%. That's why there's so much money. Apple's part of this as well, like some of our biggest companies that keep money outside the U.S., which means it's not brought in because they don't want to have to pay the taxes on it. And that means the jobs don't get created here. We would be lowering our tax rate from the highest in the industrialized world right now at 35% to competitive with the industrialized world at 20%. Very competitive. So again, this increases jobs because it brings money back into the United States. There's also an incentive to bring money back into the United States for these corporations. Logan, we come back, more phone calls, more comments as well.
Yeah, phone lines are jammed, but there's a couple being screened right now, so some maybe I can get up. 1-800-684-3110. Get your comments in. We'll take some of those during the show and during the break. If you're watching on social media, that's at facebook.com/JaySekulow. Twitter and Periscope at JaySekulow, at Jordan Sekulow. Be right back.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation: the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, The ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.
As we were discussing during the break, folks, I think many people want to know now, okay, this got through the House of Representatives, and we're going to take your questions to explain what got through the House, as we've been doing throughout the show, what is in this legislation in the House of Representatives. There is a great website to go to. It's fairandsimple.gop. You can look at how your state will benefit, what will you do with your tax cut, how it affects you, the different brackets. All of that information is there, so you can go through that on your own as well. And it takes it, again, and it allows you to kind of understand exactly how this will benefit you. So you can actually see how it will benefit you individually. And then, of course, we can answer broader questions on the air about what's in this. But Logan was talking about, you know, a lot of people already asking, Than, when is the Senate actually going to take action on this? Like, so the House has done it. That's great. But our audience knows the tougher battles in the U.S. Senate. It's not the exact same piece of legislation. So what? When do we think the Senate will actually vote? And what's the if they do pass it, then they've got to go to that process where they come together and kind of reconcile the House and Senate bill.
That's right, Jordan. The Senate is out next week for the Thanksgiving break. They are tentatively scheduled to have this bill on the floor the following week. So 2 weeks from now, it would be on the floor. Now, that's not to say that it is an ironclad guarantee that the vote is going to happen that week. That is what they are aiming for. But as we've learned with the Senate, a lot of times it will depend on where the votes are and when they are there. Senator Ron Johnson is a no at this point. If they get to 2 weeks from now and he's still the only no, they will definitely take that vote that week. If they have 50 votes, they will take it. And then, Jordan, yes, a conference committee is the most likely scenario after that, where select members of the House and Senate have to come together, iron out the differences, and then both chambers have to vote on the bill again.
All right. So, I mean, this is, I think that for everyone out there to understand the importance of pushing this through, if you support tax cuts, and again, I mean, to get this through is historic. It only the last time we had taxes in the 1980s, a major change like this. We've had increases through various pieces of legislation, but to really a major reform like this is something that only comes around once every 30 years, it seemed, in our history so far. Logan, let's take a call and we'll get to more people's questions and answer those.
Let's go to Vicky, who's calling in Texas. Thanks for calling, Vicky. You're on the air.
Hello. I also have a concern. I am very happy to hear that hopefully employers, businesses, corporations will bring their business back to the states and employ more people within the states. My concern is that they will only add to the minimum wage jobs that are available. And who will get those minimum wage jobs? Who is looking for those minimum wage jobs? So how will that increased revenue that is brought back to the states increase the living standard of the Americans here or residents here who need to be able to pay their bills? We're minimum wage. Even with the standard deductions, there are many bills we have that can't be met, notably health bills, doctor's bills. Well, so we're still suffering.
Yeah, well, Vicky, I mean, that's you bring up the point where, I mean, in this tax legislation, this is not the repeal and replace of Obamacare. We know healthcare costs have gone up significantly. I mean, you're in a state where you benefit from having a no state income tax in Texas. This will effectively, so you will not be paying, it looks like, state or federal income taxes as the way you described it, your current status. But I think, Harry, as a principle of economics, when you have the incentives to spend for 5 years, so you only get this 5 years to expand on new equipment and be able to deduct the cost immediately. You've only got 5 years to do it for the major corporations. You can't buy new equipment without building the equipment, installing it. So that actually takes people, not just minimum wage earners, but it takes people with real expertise in how to build, manufacture, install, and operate. Companies want to expand. They don't want to, yes, they want to make more money, but to make more money, they have to increase their productivity, which includes increasing their staff.
Absolutely. So one of the things that this bill does is it fuels an expansion in the sales of capital goods. That will increase the level of manufacturing in the United States. Many manufacturing workers are unionized, and they are middle to high income wage individuals. So this will benefit, broadly speaking, many people in the middle class. So it's not just minimum wage workers who will benefit from this legislation.
Let's take another call.
All right, let's go to Ken in Grand Rapids, Michigan, on line six. Ken, you're on the air.
Hey, Ken.
Hello, how are you?
We're good.
Well, my question is this, you guys mentioned about the 80s and the changes there. I also have a concern is that didn't we already try this top-down economics and kind of out of the 2002-2004 consider and understand that, hey, that didn't work out well for the public?
Well, no, I mean, this is not just a corporate tax cut that we're talking about. You know, we've been answering some people's questions about that. That is part of this tax plan, is taking the corporate tax rate, which is the highest in the industrialized world, so not a lot of incentives for corporations to keep their money here at 35% right now, to 20%, making us competitive. But it also cuts your taxes, Ken, right away. I think that is the biggest point, Than, is that this is, people are focusing in, I know this is the Democrat talking point, on the corporate side. What they're leaving out is how this will benefit individuals right now, because it will lower their taxes. It may make that where they pay zero taxes at the federal level, but people are going to be getting a tax cut.
Well, it's both, Jordan, and it needs to be both. And look, on the corporate side, I know a lot of people want to say that's detached from the individual worker, but the biggest winner when you reduce the corporate tax rate from one of the highest in the industrialized world to now beneath the industrialized world average, what that will do is give more entry-level jobs, Jordan. So I would argue that the biggest winner in this is not a wage earner at all. It's someone who does not currently have a job and will have a job and earn a wage after this bill passes, because that reduction in the corporate tax rate will bring about the incentive to bring that new person on board. Jordan, there have been a lot of disincentives to adding people to the workforce, and Obamacare was certainly one of them. It's about time that we give corporations an incentive to actually give people a wage, and I think this bill does that.
Continue to take your phone calls in this next half hour of the broadcast, 1-800-684-3110. We also, as you know, we have many as you know, but if you're not as familiar with the work of the ACLJ and our international affiliates, we have an office in Zimbabwe, which is going through a bit of an upheaval right now. We're going to try and connect live with our director of the African Center for Law and Justice in Zimbabwe for a live report on what's happening on the ground there in the next half hour of the broadcast. So you don't want to miss that. And we're going to continue to talk about the tax reform plan as well. So if you're holding on the line, we're going to take those calls and answer those questions. Than, you want us to mention too that in this legislation in the House, the adoption tax credit is still there. There's also a Johnson Amendment repeal.
Yes, there is. This is something we've been fighting for in standalone language for a long time, Jordan, and it is in there. It's actually in the Senate version as well. It will give churches and other C3s, 501c3s, much more freedom. They won't have that chilling effect of the Johnson Amendment hanging over them. It's essentially a repeal written into this overall tax reform.
All right, folks, a lot to talk about in our second half hour of our broadcast, including a live report from Zimbabwe. As you've been following the news, you know Robert Mugabe, a long-serving, I think the longest in the world, called president, and his party's been in power since the 1980s. He's in his 90s, is under house arrest. The military is taken to the streets. We're working on a live report from Zimbabwe from our office there. We'll continue to take your phone calls and discuss the tax issue as well. Go to ACLJ.org, matching challenge right now. Support the work of the ACLJ and double your donation. ACLJ.org.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.
welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls, your comments, 1-800-684-3110. It's the House of Representatives has passed a tax cut plan for both individuals and corporations. That includes large corporations and small businesses and individuals across the tax spectrum. The biggest probably part of this for folks is, of course, less categories of taxes. So it's not as complicated to figure out what tax bracket you're in at the federal level. And also the increase in the standard deduction, $12,000 for an individual, $24,000 for a married couple, which effectively will bring a lot of people down to paying no federal income tax. And it will greatly, remember that you first make that deduction and then you're taxed on what money is left after that deduction. So that's what you're taxed on and how you determine your bracket. We walk through those brackets. I want to take some of the calls even right away in this first segment of the broadcast.
All right, let's do it. Let's get some of these calls out of the way. Some people on hold for a while. Let's go to Greg in California on line three.
Hey, Greg.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I live in wonderful tax and spend California, my wife and I do. And we need to be really specific with the language here. I'm sick and tired of hearing people saying, hey, in the high tax states, our taxes are going to be going up. No, your federal taxes are going down. You're just going to experience your state taxes.
Right.
And if you don't like it, now's your opportunity and chance to change out the tax and spend liberals for more conservative, for a more conservative government.
That's right, because that deduction that you've been able to have of state and local taxes, which really is a deduction utilized for people like you, Greg, live in the blue states, tax and spend states, heavily taxed at the state and local level, is paid for by everybody else because they don't get, it's not a big deduction for them, if any. And so we're paying for California and the state of California to be able to tax you at that rate and then be able for you to be able to deduct it for the state to still get the money. So this legislation, Harry, it cuts that out. It keeps the people can write off their state and local property taxes up to $10,000, but not the state income taxes. And that is, again, what so many people are, I think, on the left, and even some Republicans in blue states are feeling the pressure on. But as the caller said, this will force California to actually address the problem, and Californians, the citizens, to address the problem of their state really taxing them to death.
I think you're correct. Greg's analysis is absolutely right from a policy perspective. Effectively, under the current system, red states, lower tax states, are subsidizing blue states. This approach taken by the House will reverse that to a large extent, and it will provide an economic incentive for the citizens in California, New Jersey, and New York to cut state and local taxes.
Yeah, I mean, so ultimately this could actually have that kind of pressure point on those states where they can no longer rely on their citizens not really feeling the impact of the high taxes because they're able to deduct it. If they're at certain income levels. And so now they're going to feel it at the state level. But that is not the federal government raising your taxes. As the caller mentioned from California, it is you now may experience what it's like to live in a high tax state because you really have not been having to experience that to the full extent and what that will do to those economies. Again, it's part of the discussion. It's part of the debate. The legislation is passed through the House of Representatives. We now move on to the U.S. Senate. We've got a lot of calls on this. We're going to continue to take your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. We'll go to Than on the politics of this and what happens next. Working on getting that live report from Zimbabwe and what's happening on the ground there as well. If we can get the connection for you while we're live on the air and taking your comments on Facebook and Periscope. Logan, again, it's a great time for people to support the ACLJ, our matching challenge, and get involved online.
That's right. Get involved online on ACLJ.org. Make sure you're following us, liking us on social media. Exclusive videos coming up here in the break. So if you're watching on social media, you got a great video coming up right now. We're going to go right to it at the break. We'll be right back.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation: the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Hey, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are talking about the historic move by the House of Representatives to cut taxes both for individuals and corporations. It will now move to the U.S. Senate. This is the it's an overhaul of our nation's tax code for the first time since President Reagan's tax reform 31 years ago. I mean, think about that. We haven't had an overhaul of our tax code like this, a real, you know, full overhaul at the individual level, at the corporate level, at the small business level, in 31 years. But now it's not done yet. The fight is not over. It moves to the U.S. Senate. Let's go right to the phones, Logan, and then we'll keep answering people's questions as well. We're trying to get that live reports from Zimbabwe and what's happening there. We have an office there, but not always easy to get live connected on the – we're working on it.
All right. Yep. As we work on it, we'll continue to take some of these calls about hold for a long time. Yep. Let's go to Kim, who's calling in Omaha, Nebraska, on line 5. Kim, you're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Hi, this is Kim from Omaha, Nebraska. Thank you for all you do. We appreciate you informing us. I have a question about, I'm a tax preparer, and so I'm a sole proprietorship myself, but I do several customers I have that are also sole proprietors.
Yeah.
I hear you talk about lowering taxes for corporate, small and large, but I haven't heard you say anything about sole proprietors. Will we also get our self-employment tax lowered?
Yeah, that's right. So it reduces the tax rate on business income of, they call it the Main Street job creators, small businesses, to no more than 25%. That's the lowest tax rate on small business income since World War II, Kim. So it will not be higher than 25%. It also establishes safeguards to distinguish between individual wage income and pass-through business income. So the tax relief goes to the local job creators. It was designed to help. So, I mean, I'll go to Harry first on this. For the small business owner, this, and that's a lot of people. I mean, most people are employed by small businesses. And I know we have a lot of small business owners and people who work for small businesses listening to this broadcast. The tax cut for the small business owner is good for them. It's also good for their employees because it means they will have, again, more resources at the, you know, available to increase wages or hire more staff.
Absolutely. So I think your analysis is spot on. Tax rates for smaller businesses will drop dramatically, in addition to the extent that individuals run their business through their own personal income tax account, their marginal tax rate will also fall. I do want to point out, however, consistent with the caller's question, that the self-employment tax, In other words, the amount of tax being paid for Social Security will remain unchanged.
Yeah, and small businesses will continue to be able to write off the interest on loans. So again, helps you expand your business, hire workers, increase your paychecks. It does a lot at the different level, but we have more questions about this for small businesses. I think we haven't spent as much time on this yet on the broadcast. If you want to talk to us on air, 1-800-684-3110. So let's take Sharon's call next as well.
Yep, Sharon in Montana.
Go to Than on it.
Line four.
Hello.
Hi. Hey, Sharon.
This is Sharon. I was just wondering, I've heard a little bit since I've been on the phone, but we were trying to start a trucking company, a small trucking company, nothing large.
Right.
And we were just wondering if this was going to give us a good break on our starting our company.
Yeah, I mean, Than, that's the whole point of this tax cut legislation is to help people, whether, you know, if you're trying to start your own company, your taxes go down individually, so you have more money to spend to invest to start your own company. So it works at the individual level. And then by bringing the tax level down for a small business, once you get that business started, you're able to deduct interest on loans. You are paying a much lower top rate. The top rate your small business could be taxed at then would be 25%. So that's lowered as well. So on both sides, I think in Sharon's case, the individual tax cut's important because if you're looking at building a business, you've got to have – that means that her and her husband have got money saved to kind of invest into the business. They will then have more money to invest because they will get a tax cut. And then on the corporate small business side, they will be paying less taxes.
Well, for both Sharon and Kim, and frankly, the vast majority of small businesses out there, Jordan, they do pay what are called pass-through taxes. You and Harry both alluded to this, but it's essentially filing a personal income tax, but all of your business-related expenses and income is on that. So as a result, those numbers tend to get inflated and you end up paying in those higher brackets. What this bill would do is primarily two things, Jordan. First of all, it would say that on the first $75,000 of that small business income, you would only pay 9% instead of 10%. And then for any income that exceeded that $260,000 threshold, that if you were just an individual filing your taxes, you would increase outside of the 25% rate. It would cap that rate at 25%. So giving a massive break to small businesses like Sharon's and Kim's. Jordan, that's a very significant win for them.
Folks, we're going to get right back to taxes very soon. We're going to continue to take your phone calls and comments on it, 1-800-684-3110. We have been able to connect. We are live right now with our office in Zimbabwe, the African Center for Law and Justice, and our director there, Alex Chisango. Alex, thank you for joining us on the broadcast at a very, a time in your country where things are not easy to predict. You had a president who was President Mugabe was under house arrest, the military in the streets. They're saying it's not a coup. And he actually, President Mugabe, made an appearance at a graduation ceremony today in Zimbabwe. Tell people what is happening on the ground.
It looks like we're having a connection difficulty.
Yeah, it looks like we may have already dropped that connection. Yep, it did drop.
All right, we'll try this one more time.
Tough part. We'll try it again in the last segment of the broadcast coming up. Let's get back to taxes again.
Everyone understands.
That's but we could try to do
situation.
It on Monday as well.
Dave's calling New Jersey on line six. Dave, you're on the air.
Hi, Jay. I'm from New Jersey. We just elected a rather left-leaning governor. He's pro-abortion and, you know, $15 major and whatnot.
Yeah.
While I am relieved to hear that this tax bill is going to make more entry-level jobs available, what good does that do us when so many businesses are going to have to either cut staff or cut hours to adjust for the increase in minimum wage?
I mean, you're talking about an increase in minimum wage at your state level?
Yes, at state level.
Well, I think it's ability for them. We're not talking about all minimum wage jobs here. I mean, that's not the goal of any tax reform plan. It's just to hire more Americans at a minimum wage level. It's to get people from the minimum wage level to the middle class here. I mean, that's the goal. It's not about minimum wage jobs or cutting. It's about even if you live in a state like New Jersey, which may pass these more liberal plans and higher minimum wages, that the businesses are still going to be much better off.
Absolutely. So it's important to look at this tax cut two ways. First, its impact on the country as a whole, and secondarily, its impact on individual states. It's very, very likely that the tax cut will have a positive effect on the economy as a whole. That's number one. Number two, it's very likely that the economic effects will be somewhat uneven, in part because there are anti-competitive plans and rules and statutes in many states. New Jersey is a high tax, high regulatory state. I would expect that this tax cut will fuel lower rates of growth. There's no way of getting around that. And this problem can be solved going forward if the citizens of New Jersey vote for a different leadership.
Yeah, I mean, sir, let me tell you something. If you live in a blue state, things are not going to be booming the same way as if you live in a red state. I mean, that's just the truth. And that's actually how things have been going for most middle-income Americans, the middle class, for a couple of decades, where the red states have been doing much better and the blue states have been really taxing people, I think keeping people from getting to that next income level. Do we have some comments coming on Facebook as well?
Yeah. Candia asked, if this passes before Christmas, when will it go into effect?
Okay. So, Than, explain to people, when would these tax cuts actually, when would they get the tax cut? You know, what year, when they is it when they, the next time they file, or is it the time after that?
You're in the House bill, Jordan, it would be the next tax year. So you're talking about a year away when you would file again. Of course, all of your withholdings would start changing immediately as soon as the calendar turns over. I will tell you, we can get into some of these specifics, but the Senate bill does have a delay on the implementation of some of these. Specifically, the corporate tax rate would be delayed for a year. But in the House bill, it goes into effect virtually immediately. And as soon as the calendar flips to January, you can begin withholding less from your paycheck. Therefore, you take more home.
Yeah, I mean, so you would get a shorter term relief around, you know, when you file your taxes, you know, the April tax day in April. So, but it would start feeling the effects then. And then for that next year moving forward, even greater, you're going to even see more relief from at least the House plan. When we get back, we're going to take more of your calls on the tax issue. I know there's a lot of questions about what the House has passed, what the Senate will do. That's 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us on air. And this is, again, I think it's a great time to support the work of the American Center for Law and Justice at ACLJ.org. Whatever you're able to donate online at ACLJ.org is doubled right now. So if a $10 donation becomes $20, it's important for all the work that we do at the ACLJ. That's ACLJ.org. We'll be right back on Jay Sekulow Live.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation. The rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online aclj.org.
All right, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. We're jumping on quickly because we have connected with our office. We are live, folks, with our office in Zimbabwe, the African Center for Law and Justice, and our director there. No, it's gone again. We have been trying to get this to you live because of the change that is going on right now in Zimbabwe. We've had an office there for a number of years and have really been waiting for a moment where there's been political change and there can be a new constitution, and Zimbabwe can again become the breadbasket of Africa. But again, we will try and wait for that update. There's still a lot going on there until we can actually connect with our director, Alex Chisango. Let me say this, folks, be in prayer for our team in Zimbabwe and for the people of Zimbabwe. They are, again, the military is taken to the streets. That's not necessarily a bad thing, by the way, but there's a lot of uncertainty about who the next leader will be. The current president, most people know, is Robert Mugabe, who has been president since the independence of Zimbabwe in 1980. He is in his 90s. Many people thought his wife would take power next, and so they thought the military acted because of that. And there really a lot of things need to fall in place, though, not just the end of the Mugabe government, but a lot of other things would have to fall in place for this to be a positive for Zimbabwe. So let's be in prayer for the people of Zimbabwe. It's a predominantly Christian nation, many Christian brothers and sisters there who have been living in rough times. And if we can get that live report to you, even next week on the broadcast, we will, but just be in prayer. That's what we can do here in the United States as they go through this uncertain time. Let's go right to the phone.
Sure, let's just go to order of hold. Let's go to Terry in Buffalo, New York, on line one. You're on the air.
Hi, guys. How you doing? All right. Well, I hate to be a negative Nelly here, but the way I see it is this. We got politics that's going to override this, and what's going to happen is it's going to not pass because you're going to have a John McCain or somebody that will want the spotlight or whatever, but they don't want Donald Trump to get legislation passed in the Senate. I don't feel like he's going to get any legislation passed in the Senate the 4 years he's in here, because the comfortable politicians that are there, it's not the best for their personal job.
I get your concern, absolutely. I mean, I'm very excited that the House was able to do this. At the margin, they were able to do it. They only lost 13 Republicans, and that was, again, much less than people predicted. But the Senate is going to be a whole lot tougher, Than. I mean, that's just being honest to our listeners, and we are honest to our listeners. This is no slam dunk in the U.S. Senate right now. I would probably call it an uphill battle.
Yeah, it always is an uphill battle in the Senate right now, Jordan. I mean, I share Terry's concern about the overall state of politics. I will give him a couple of reasons for hope here. First of all, the margin in the House, 227 votes. Jordan, I was expecting something around 218, and they needed 216 given the vote. So a very comfortable margin. And the second reason for hope, there is nothing better for your political future than putting more money in the pockets of your constituents, the people who are going to be voting the next time around. So he might be right. There might be divisions between senators and the president, but they want nothing more than to be reelected, and passing real tax cuts and real tax reform is a very good way to do that. So I think there is a lot of reason for optimism on that, although you're absolutely right, Jordan. Razor-thin margins in the Senate and definitely a lack of unity on either side of the aisle. We're, of course, going to have to watch it till the very end.
Yeah, I mean, this again, folks, you can be excited about what the House has done, and we want to explain to you about what's in the House legislation. The Senate legislation has moved through committee. We're not going to get a vote on that. It does have different provisions. But that will not be the final legislation either. They will then go to, if it does pass the Senate, and that's an uphill battle, after the Thanksgiving holiday, but by the end of the year, they will then go into conference, try to reconcile those differences. Let's take more calls.
All right, continuing on, let's go still in order. Let's go to Scott in South Carolina on line three.
Gentlemen, thank you for fighting for us, the people who don't really have a voice anymore in this big government machine. Two questions real quick. Is there any mention of the death tax?
Yes.
And second, okay.
I'll answer that, and then you can ask your second question. So, it provides in the House plan that passed, there would be immediate relief from the death tax. It doubles the exemption and repeals the death tax after 6 years. It will ultimately repeal the death tax completely, and it will immediately double the exemption, which will handle it for most people. Anyways, I think that's right, Harry.
I think that's absolutely correct.
Right now it's at what, five?
Right now, it's around $5.2 million.
So if you double that to $10.4 million, that's most people right. who they're trying to focus on here, which is the people who own a large piece of property, family farms.
Absolutely.
They can't pay that tax on.
Right. And they're going to index the exemption as well.
All right. And your second question, Scott.
Second question is, are either of the tax plans going to affect the middle-income personnel as far as their mortgage interests?
The mortgage interest tax, is that in the, here?
The mortgage interest deduction remains in place. However, the House bill, as I understand it, will cap it at $500,000.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So it preserves the home mortgage interest deduction for existing mortgages, maintains the home mortgage interest deduction for newly purchased homes up to $500,000. Again, so it provides tax relief to current and people who want to buy homes. Let's take another call.
Let's go to Terry in Washington, line four. Quickly, Terry.
I wanted to know about international taxes. The House at one point was considering a 20% excise tax on imports. Also, Paul Ryan was pushing the border adjustment tax, which would have made imports at 40%, but exports at zero. Is there anything in this bill that's going to help exporters?
Harry.
Essentially, the bill does not deal with imports and exports in terms of raising tariffs. There were a number of proposals to change that. For instance, you mentioned the border tax, but the retailers, the lobbyists, they were successful in eliminating those provisions.
All right, continuing on. Let's go to Bonnie in Cleveland. You're on the air on line two.
Thank you so much for taking the call and giving us insight. It's one thing to have the information, but insight helps us to process the information sometimes that comes at us. But I was curious as to how it's going to affect those of us who are retired on Social Security and have a limited income. Is there going to be a break for us, or can we just be status quo? What do you think?
I mean, so if you're on limited income, Are you paying any federal tax right now?
No, but we had some deductions, so.
So you still, I think, would keep the you'd still pay no taxes.
Essentially, that's absolutely correct, in part because the standard deduction would be doubled.
Yeah, so I mean, you get double the amount of deductions. So if you had some, if you inherited some money or got some new property, something like that, there are benefits for you there. But if you're effectively already at zero, there's not so much, more relief the federal government can provide you when you're already at a 0% tax rate. So, again, I think that this is really aimed at getting more people to the 0% tax rate or to a lower tax bracket. We could try to take Sandy's call very quickly.
Sandy in Madison, Wisconsin, quickly here on the air.
I think Sandy can answer this real quick.
Hello.
Go ahead, quickly.
I'm interested in, I've been listening very carefully to your analysis. Our Senator Ron Johnson in Wisconsin has a successful manufacturing business.
Yeah, let me cut you off. I got to cut you off, but you want to know why he says he's not going to support the bill. Than what is he saying his reason is?
He wants the pass-through rate for small businesses to look more like the houses. If he can get that, Jordan, he can be back to a yes.
Okay, so I mean, he wants the more... benefit, I think, for the pass-through taxation. So to benefit the small business owner. So not, it's not like he wants more taxes. He wants lower taxes for the small business owner. We will talk to you again. Enjoy your weekend next time and next week on Jay Sekulow Live.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.